Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa, a spiritual community that promotes global transformation through personal transformation. At the center, we are motivated by a compelling vision of a healthy, loving world, which we call the Global Heart Vision. This vision inspires us to bring the gifts of compassion and loving kindness to the world through our ministries and teaching. What you are about to hear is a recording of a message delivered at the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa. Feel welcomed. Feel at home.
Gary Land Floyd, can we give him some lots of love there? What a beautiful song. Oh my God. I was so happy when I heard that he was going to accompany me this morning, because his music is so beautiful, and those words, one heart, one life, one world, one family, those are words that we're familiar with here at this Center for Spiritual Living. It really is the basis of our teaching, and yet it's so easy to get distracted. It's so easy to feel separation. In fact, we're living through these human bodies that see dual, that see us and them, that see ourselves and other, that experience separation. I want to start this morning by telling you a story that I experienced, something I experienced years and years ago. Some of you may have heard this story, but it is so pivotal in my life, and it's something I return to again and again and again in my livingness and in my practice. I was living down in Berkeley at the time, and I had gotten up in the morning, and I was having a really hard time. I was in this very horrific relationship, and I was feeling really bad about myself, and I just wanted to get away, get out of my skin. You may have been there in your own lives at some point. And at some point, I decided to go down to a restaurant that I knew well, that was very familiar, that felt like a home that maybe I had never really experienced and had before. And I was feeling good about myself for doing this, because I was going to go down and have a healthy lunch, and Baskin and Robbins was right next door. And so I was feeling proud that I was choosing high. So I went in and I sat down at this table that I had sat at many, many, many times, and I ordered my healthy lunch. And no sooner had the waitress walked away than a man appeared at the door, and it was clear from his appearance that he was a homeless man in Berkeley. And I saw her talking to him and sort of moving her arms around, and I wasn't sure what she was saying, but what I noticed happened real quickly is he just moved around her, and he went and sat at a table right next to me. And he proceeded to look at each and every person in the restaurant and to point to them with his fingers and make a hissing sound. And I started feeling very uncomfortable. Now, I was at a time in my life where I was in spiritual practice. I was meditating at a Buddhist center. And I was at a time in my life where I truly believed nothing happened by accident. But this man was making me nervous, and I started going through this gyration in my head. You might call it fervent prayer. And it sounded sort of like this: why is he doing this today? What does this mean for me? What am I supposed to do with this? And I wish he'd just go away. I don't really believe that he can hex me, but I'm having a very, very bad day. And if ever I could be hexed, this would be the day. And these thoughts just kept going around faster and faster in my mind. I just wanted to feel okay. When all of a sudden, out of the corner of my eye, something shifted, and I turned my face towards this man. But instead of seeing his homeless body, his form, his appearance, what I saw was this wavering energy of light. And I heard this voice come up from within instantly that said, "You're made of the same stuff. I have no idea how long this was going on or why this was happening. But as soon as I came to my awareness of sitting in this restaurant, my first thought was, they're not kidding when they say we're one. I'm so grateful that we are coming back to exploring the ethics of our tradition to look at social justice this year. It is really the ground from whence we came. The early New Thought people came in with a passion for making a difference in the world. They had dreams and visions of working with preserving the environment, with women's rights, with animal rights, with abolition. And then at some point in our teaching, we started talking more and more and more about the things that we can do with our minds to get what we want. And it's true, we can do things with our mind and have what we want show up. But today I want to talk about this thing of oneness, which is the very ground upon which we stand. It's our first principle. You might say it's our only spiritual principle, that there is only one, there's one thing happening. The topic for today is interdependence. Not independence, which is something that we've grown up with in this culture. Being independent, being strong, individualist. But interdependent as the true nature of what we really are, that our lives are based upon the life that is all around us, the life that has come before us. There's a beautiful term in South Africa, Ubuntu, that means family. One of the ways they define it or speak it is meaning I am because we are. I love that. I am because we are. Truly, no one sitting in this room is ever separate. We are not separate from the people sitting across the aisle from us, ever. So I want to start with that understanding, something I hear from people again and again and again when I sit and work with people. That if this is truly so, then we belong, each of us. The person sitting in your seat belongs here on this earth. As Hafiz spoke in his beautiful poem about God inviting you to a party. He says, if you were invited by God to a party and God let you know that everyone there on the dance floor was there by God's invitation, how would you meet them? Because truly, truly, everyone here on this earth is here by God's invitation. That one intelligence is the only source there is. And the other thing that Ernest Holmes teaches, besides this oneness that's showing up right in you, is that understanding that the only place we ever do our spiritual work and practice is within ourselves. This is good news because this is where we have some power and say. It's bad news because we'd rather work on other people's stuff. As I was getting ready for my talk today, I remembered something that happened decades ago. When I was down in Berkeley, I was teaching in a Montessori school with my friend Kim. And we were in the classroom and we were gathering for our circle. This is 3 to 5 year olds in the circle. And one of the little girls brought a picture book, a Bible story book. And there was this little awkward squirm and glance between Kim and myself. And so Kim said to her, "What is your favorite picture in the book?" And so the little girl opened to this page where there was an image of the God presence, the Christian God that they had drawn in this book with those light rays beaming down on the Romans below. And Kim said, "So what is it you really like about that picture?" And the little girl said, "Their clothes." And I thought of this, and that made me laugh too, because truly, don't we do this? She's 5 years old. We walk around in this miracle of life. We see God's light all the time. The very breath we're breathing is God's breath in us. And yet we get distracted by the clothes, don't we? The image, the color of skin, the way people live their lives, the choices they make. Kim said, we are aspiring to welcome people of every faith. Well, truly, really, what we're really wanting to know is that everybody comes here is a part of us. It's big work. It's rigorous work. But it's worthy of us coming back to again and again and again. Ernest Holmes knew from whence he spoke because he too had mystical experiences as those mystics that Kim is going to teach in his class. He knew and understood oneness. And really, we do too. We have glimpses. We really do have glimpses of feeling and knowing our connection, of peace, of love. Looks different in each of us, but those glimpses are available. How do I know? Because that one intelligence is right where each of us is. The great mystical teacher Kabir said, "I had an experience of God for 15 seconds, and I let it inform the rest of my life." So often, in fact, this is pretty much what I hear from people who come to sit with me, is I want those experiences to last. I want to live in that prayer all the time. And yet, we get distracted. It's our very nature as human beings to get distracted by the stuff of the world. We live in a world in physical forms. That's why we have spiritual practice to come back and allow our prayer, our knowing, to inform us anew. So if we are truly interdependent, how do we want to be with the people around us? I think about when I drive down the freeway. I want the people around me to be well fed. I want them to be happy. Don't you? You want them to be well rested. You want them to feel good about where they are because it has impact on you. We are connected. We're connected to everything. Like the tree and the roots and the soil and the microbes and the worms, the waters and the air. We are connected. When Darwin came in with his studies of evolution, one of the most radical ideas that disturbed people was that paradigm shift of this teaching, this understanding that we weren't the pinnacle of creation, that we came from nature, that we're part of nature. That's good to know. We are part of nature. It's useful to know, as Ernest Holmes says, that we're not the thing itself, that we're a part of. We're made of, but we're a part of. We're not the whole thing itself. Something bigger is working, breathing, informing through us. Believe me, this is the good news. We want to have something bigger to listen to and direct us. Howard Thurman, the author of our book for the month, talked about the silence of the genuine. We have that in us that is that genuine voice. Do you recognize that voice that is the divine, that voice that's truer? Because it lives in you. I'll ask this. This might be more clear. Are you aware of that voice in you that's not so true? Those directions and those impulsions that maybe aren't your highest. It's a natural part of our human expression. That's why we do spiritual practice, to come home again. I was walking the other day and I was hearing the mockingbirds. I was surprised to hear so many mockingbirds on this cold February. And I don't know if you know mockingbirds. I grew up with lots of them around me. And you can recognize a mockingbird because a mockingbird copies the sounds of the birds around them. And then they have a repertoire of bird sounds. And they go over them and over and over and over and over that repertoire. Do you recognize that in yourself? I'm sure you recognize it in other people in your life. The invitation that Howard Thurman was making in listening for that genuine was not to find a better song, but to find our true voice. Because it lives in each and every one of us, and we are touching and communicating and creating together right now. I remember David Bruner up here one Sunday morning, and he started his talk saying, "What you're thinking in this very moment is creating your world." Was a little shocking. Brings you present. That's the power of our work of looking at our thinking. Is, am I aligned with the truth of oneness? Am I leaving something or someone out? This teaching doesn't advocate not taking action or standing up strong. In fact, Ernest Holmes was an advocate for living and experiencing the greater world. He said, things aren't perfect in the world. They're far from perfect. He believed in our prayer work. He believed in our activity, in engagement in the world. And so what I want to invite you to is to find that genuine voice in you. What's mine to know and do? But that ground the being has to start with, can I expand into that greater a sense of the oneness of life? There's a story about a monastery in this little village. And there's one man in this monastery, and his name is Sam. And Sam is an annoyance to all the monks. He's always late for the prayers and the meditation. He's kind of lazy, sleeps through his chores, and he sneaks hamburgers into the vegetarian fare of the monastery. And one day the head teacher goes to visit another monastery, and the monks gather and they gather around Sam and they tell him he has to leave and they shoo him off. And the teacher comes back and he notices right away that something's missing and he says, "Where's Sam?" And they say, "Well, we ask him to leave because he's really not participating." And the teacher turned around and he ran down the path and he brought Sam back. And he said, "Sam is your teacher of compassion." we are here expanding our conscious awareness. We're here growing our awareness of that oneness of life. We're here being called to become more of that that is truly our nature, which is love right now. So we get an opportunity to come back again and again and again to looking at, to noticing, what am I thinking, feeling? You know how when you walk into the center or you walk into a church and you can feel that prayerful energy. You can feel love. That same thing is true about anger and fear. What are we contributing? Right now, it seems like our world is calling for a higher vibration, a greater understanding of oneness, not based on us wanting to change or fix or judge someone else, but bringing a greater experience of truth. Because our world is teaching us what lives within human consciousness. It's outpicturing that expression in our country right now. Can we bring forth greater unity? Can we get bigger in our circle of life? Can we stand in fierce love for everything? And then allow that to guide and direct us in what's ours to know and do. To have it be an expression in our activity. That homeless man became a teacher for me. It's something I remember in my interactions. I try to remember in all of my interactions. If this is an expression made of the same stuff, how am I being with this? That is our practice. So we're just opening more to that that is already present. That is our genuine sound right here that lives in us and that it lives around us. And so I want to acknowledge, so often we acknowledge the people on the stage, we look to the leaders to be the answer. But really, you are what this center is all about. You are that is helping create our world right now. Person by person by person by community, we are one life, one world, one family. Let us pray. Just stopping right now to remember this one. To know that it is everywhere present, holding all of creation. In filling, unfolding through all that there is. Beyond human understanding. This one life, this one light, this one love is right where I am. It is the very stuff of which I am made. And it is that that calls me home in this greater knowing. It is that light, that love, that one life that lives in each and every one, individual, individuated. Together we make creation. And so I anchor in that awareness of this one. I anchor in that awareness of that divine light and that love that shines through us and around us always. That lifts us up from the within and guides our every step. We are held, supported, sustained by that one. We belong in and as this one creation right now. Here, each to express our unique voice, to give our unique life from that highest and best that we can. And so I simply give thanks for this knowing. I celebrate this one. I let go. I let this be. And so it is. Amen. And so now is our time of offering. I invite you to take your gift in your hand. As we say together, I bless this gift. I send it forth to heal and to prosper. It does good work in this world. And so it is. Ushers, receive the gifts.